Welcome to the Emerging Tech Africa podcast. On today's episode, we'll be talking to a Nigerian inventor, Kemisola Bolariwa, about one of her most notable inventions, the smart bra. She discusses our motivations and why we have very few tech founders playing in the hardware space.
My name is Bolariwa Kemisola, and I'm the founder and the CEO of Nestware Technologies. And we have another subsidiary, that's Nest Robotics. Then I'm a robotics and embedded system engineer. I have STEM education, which I took as my special passion. Well, this STEM thing has been part of me for ages. From my secondary school, I've chosen that part of STEM. I've chosen that part of innovation. So that helped me a lot when I get an admission into the university. So I study electrical electronics at the university. So it has been all part of me from my college days. I can remember joining Jeff's club, going for competition and all that, offering science courses. So it has been part of me. And when I graduated, I ventured into robotics after leaving the university where I studied electrical electronics. Then I ventured into robotics and embedded. What got me motivated for that innovation is that I lost someone to breast cancer. Breast cancer is not new to me. I've been hearing about when something doesn't happen to you, you won't know the effect, you won't know the pain until it happens to someone close to me, so I can feel that pain. Before she died, because she died of stage 3 in July 2017, I can remember then going to her at the hospital, seeing other women like myself groaning in this pain of so-called breast cancer, and I know it's not something, in fact, at the time, it's like a threat, not even like, it's a threat to me personally, because the memory keep flashing that since that I'm going to have this thing, because we have teenagers there being treated at the veteran hospital about then. So that made me to look inward into it and see how I can use technology to tackle that challenge. I met with an oncologist there, which we had a lot of conversation. And the thing is, if you're able to detect yourself, check your status, or know at early stage, you can get cured. And most of the things we have here in Nigeria will have gotten to stage 3, stage 4 before they know. So you at least see people that get to know about this thing at the early stage, at stage 0 or 1. It's got escalated to 3, 4 before they know. So how can we help them? That's where I come in and I researched. That took about 2 to 1.5 years. For the research to see what we can do, how women can do this self-examination. Because there's something we call self-examination in this that doctors advise women to do, but most women don't do that, including myself. We don't do that, checking yourself and all that in the morning. But they need something to aid that exercise. They need something. That's where we're like, okay, we can come up with a device that they can put on and carry that thing out for them. So there's not that, I don't have the time. They don't need to know. It's not stressful, just wear it. Check your status on your mobile phone, and that's it. So that's what brought about the whole idea. And what we utilize this in the development of the bra. We utilize this ultrasound technology, basically. It's ultrasound. Because before we develop it, we have to look inward into the existing technology for breast screening. And we have mammogram. Mammogram is not a good option for us because it was something that women can be wearing every day. And mammogram, even some doctor will tell you can only have it once in 3 years because of the radiation. Though it's minimal radiation, the radiation is small, that's the X-ray, but at the same time, it's dangerous, to body tissue. So that was not a good option for us. So we have to look for another technology that can perform that diagnosis. So that's why we're looking to ultrasound. So we are using transducers. That's the transducer, that sensor we are using for our diagnosis, and we also incorporated artificial intelligence for our result analysis. And we also it's an IoT device because it interacts with your mobile application. So, we have API.
Oh, okay.
That's for your mobile app. Those are the technology we use in the development of the device. Then the device, how it works. It's so simple. It's just like other devices that you have in your house. Put it on for 30 minutes maximum, get your readings on your phone, then you're good to go. That's how it works. The sensors are already embedded in there. They go in, send frequency ultrasound to the breast, return it back, then we do the calculation, it does that by itself. So that's it, that's how it works. So it's not something, it's easy to use, I would say that. It's user friendly.
So how was Bolarinwa able to fit an ultrasound machine into a small form factor?
We're with nanotechnology, that is what we do. Nanotech, so everything we use is nanos, the tiny chips, tiny components. So like you said, you've seen the ultrasound machine before. So the Doppler, that is a transducer that they use for the scanning. I mean, that is what we utilize this for. We now replace that with a sensor that can be put. What tiny sensor? One sensor that can perform that same task. So that is what we use. It's a small sensor, distributed equally in the cup of the graph, and that's it.
From IoT to AI and nanotech, how was she able to bring all this together?
Well, it's no big deal. There's a quite company here in Nigeria that do IoT, though they're very few, especially for hardware. You know, IoT is like you interacting your hardware with the internet, you understand? So putting hardware and software together. And we have some companies, though they are very few, because you know, doing such things is capital intensive, so we have lesser people in that field. Most of our youth in Nigeria, the prefer going for software development than coming to hardware, or let me say IoT, you know. So yes, because of the time, like I mentioned earlier, that to come up with this project, I mean the device, it takes me over 1.5 years to research. Now, you know, just imagine you coming up with a software solution. Within 3 months, you're done with your solution. You've already launched it out there compared to hardware. So that's part of what, you know, scare people away from IoT and hardware development. Then your question that, okay, what gave me? No, I do robotics. When you're into robots, I don't call robots at the core of tech, because whatever technology you might think of is being utilized in robotics. Just name it at all. Name it. Name that set skill that you need. You are going to utilize it in robots. So I call it a hub for hot tech. So you're working in that part of embedded system, robotics, then you have to work with Internet of Things. Now we are in the fourth industrial revolution, whereby everything you use right now has to interact with the internet. Your wristwatch, even your home now, smart home, smart gate, smart whatever, everything has to interact with the internet. That is the era we have right now. The future is there, not okay in the future. The future is already here. We are in the fourth AR. So this thing has been in existence, and it's just for us being an African nation to utilize the skills, to utilize this. That is where the world is going.
So what's the current state of the smart bra? Are we going to see it in the market?
Well, we are currently working on the smart bra to get us to the production stage. We launched the prototype this year, February. It was documented by BBC, and it was here on all BBC channels. So it has been launched, I mean, the prototype. So we're still working hard to get it right, I mean, to get the accuracy. And I was so happy, I'm so happy, I'm overwhelmed with the responses I'm getting, because I never knew it's going to attract the responses we got. People calling from all over the world, chipping in their own ideas on how to go about it. Oh, you do this, and which is really helpful. It's really helping us know to upgrade the efficiency of the device. So we are on it already. You know, like example now, the sensor we're using, the previous sensor we are using is around 2 megahertz, 4 megahertz. So you know, when we now have people calling in, you know, they were like, oh, fine, if you can just get a higher frequency. So we have to like definitely, because the higher you get, the faster and accurate, you know, diagnosis you can get. So we're like, oh, that's good, you're right. So you have to go back to our drawing board, come up with a better sensor. We have it now, it has been produced, we have it, you know, it has been delivered by one of our OEM. So you know, all these ideas are really helping us with the what we are doing right now, the state we have. So what we want to do is to get ourselves to that final production, whereby the PCB, all the components we're using, we're going to turn them to flex, because they're still rigid, they're still hard. Then we're going to carry out the clinical trial, which is very important. Clinical trial, a standard clinical trial. We're going to carry that out, then we'll launch it. So we are looking at the end of this year or early next year for this to be launched, because we are working hard on it now.
If hardware is a difficult space in tech, Why has Kemisola stayed? And what makes it very hard to build in the hardware space?
I studied electrical electronics, so hardware has been something I've been working with for a very long time. I remember then in my when I was in college, coming up with a radio transmitter and a receiver. So I've been working with innovation for a very long time, hardware. So it's something I've been interested in. Then aside that, you know, we have been in this country, Nigeria, when it comes to hardware, we always import whatever we're using, whatever technology, hardware technology, we import them. I think, oh, this is the right time for us to like producing our own in-house solution. Enough of importing. Why can't we have the skills here? Well, why can't you just sit down, bring these people together, let them come with something. Let's start creating and start, let us export our own technology as well. We have the skills, we can achieve that. So that made me to remain in this field of hardware. Because with hardware, you can, you have a lot to exploit. There's so many solutions, so many challenges to solve with hardware. So many. If I am numerous. So I think it's time for us to just stop this importation of our technology, hardware technology. So that made me like stay. That okay, I want to work in this, though it's a bit challenging. Because here in Nigeria, we are not recommended, we are not recognized. Hardware developers are not recognized. Most of the attention have been shifted to software developers. Fine. But we can still do it. The time is coming whereby they will look for us, they will search for us. Because we have the solution. Real life solution to the real life challenges we are facing as a country. I can tell you that. So this made me stay in this part of hardware because, we have numerous problems to solve with hardware. Then the second question, we need fast, revenue. Let me say it that way. Nigerian youth, everybody wants to make the money like right now. So that is what scared them off of hardware, which everybody now diverted into software development. Within 1 month, 2 months, you are done with your solution. You've launched it. You've gotten investors from here and there. In the next 6 months, you've started your pre-seed of $100 million or whatever, in dollars. So, hardware takes time. You can't just stand up somewhere a day, wake up one day, and start making something, and you expect it to be out in the next. No, it takes time. You have to research. Try out multiple prototypes before you get it right. Before you now know. Launch your product hardware, and it's capital intensive. It's capital intensive. All those things, we order them. It's not something we have readily available here. We order from China, we order from the US or from the UK. Yes, all the components we use in the development. So that's the things that scare youth, and tech people from hardware. It's very capital intensive, but people like us, the determination is there that we have to make something out of here. We have to make something out of this. So I think that is what scares the young people from hardware development. We have big people, and it's quite unfortunate that they are not embraced, they are not encouraged. They are not encouraged at all. The few ones, because I've met so many young people with great ideas, great innovation that they've developed them. But nobody to know, they just put it somewhere, lying in their wardrobe, So nobody to encourage them, nobody to motivate them. That is what they are lacking. So that is the reason why we have much people in software than hardware in Nigeria, in Africa. It's so glaring, hardware, as I mentioned earlier, is capital intensive. It takes time before you could actualize it, before you could get yourself into the market. Before you could get your product into the market, it takes a while. 1 year, 2 years, in fact, it takes a while to do that. That's part of what, our youth here, nobody wants to wait for that. We need money, yes. Software, within 1 month, you are done. 3 months, if you have a solid team, you are done with your solution. You launch it and you start making your revenue. So that is what. And the few people that are there, assuming they are encouraged. They are motivated. I'm very sure we are still going to have more people in that part. All these multinational companies, government agencies, private company, you know, that supports most of this thing, that's supporting hardware, because they need funding. That's just the fact. They need funding, they need money to actualize those things. At times you can come up with like almost 10 prototypes before you could get your product right. So they need funding. If you can assist these people, you know, investors, to assist them, give them money, okay, this is my solution. Okay, take this, go actualize it. It will have been better, we'll have gotten more people in that part. And we'll have even, I'm telling you, we'll have seen changes in the country. I'm telling you that right now we have so many challenges in security. Our military, they need solution right now, and this solution is what we here can provide. We are the one here, we know the solution to our problem. It will be difficult for a developer, for an innovator in the US to find a solution to our problem. He can't get it more than others stay here. You get it. So they need us. They need hardware developers. The problem is there. The challenges are there. They need us. So let them come, encourage them. Encourage them. And by so doing this, we have more people, going to that path and can see. In the next coming year, you see Nigeria, you just be hearing that Nigeria, they develop this thing, they develop that, it's already in the market, they're exporting to other countries. Yes. Yes. So that's a major challenge. That's why we have few of them, few people still in this, coming up with this hardware solutions and all that. That's a problem.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, and it's really important, you spoke about encouraging, those people who already have in the hardware space, encouraging them, and that's one of the things we try to do. One of the things I'm trying to do with this series that I'm currently working on, talking to people in this space and, letting people, people in the tech ecosystem realize that, it's not just software that we need more people within the hardware space, and I hope that, speaking to people like, when they hear your voice, when they see, the kind of innovations that are coming out of this space. Maybe a lot of people, investors, will start paying attention to, hardware in Africa. So you've touched on some of those challenges that people in hardware face. Yeah. So I just want to hear some challenges that are unique to you, your company, what you are creating. What are those challenges that, can you give me scenarios of things you've faced, when it comes to trying to create this solution and take it to the market? What are those unique challenges?
We have quite a number of challenges, with the development. The first thing is the research resources. We do R&D. You pick a challenge, you have to research on that challenge before you come up with a solution, a suitable solution that can solve it. When we don't have the resources, everything we're using is online. I said you're reading them online, watching videos. We still need to do something called sightseeing, of the research. We need resources for that, which we are lacking here. We are really lacking, really, really lacking in that part here. We don't really have resource institutes. Our research institute where you can go to work in, get books, and we don't have that here in Nigeria. It's a major challenge for us. Then coming to the company that we're using, the normal resources we put together to do other things, they are not something we could get around us here. We import them, and it takes weeks, months before we get them. So all this is slow down development. It slows it down. Now with the high rise in dollar, that's another problem, that's another challenge. Because everything we are using is imported. That's another challenge. And this challenge is really disturbing, affecting the development of this device. It's really disturbing. So that was what I would call the major challenge we are facing, the major one. The human power we have them around, we have genius here. Genius. When I say genius, gurus, tech gurus. So that's one of the resources that we're going to use to put this thing together. It's not something that's not readily available, and it, you know, because of this exchange issue and all that, it's delaying, it's dragging the whole thing. So those are our challenges.
Okay, yes. So those, I think, yeah, you know, some of those challenges are kind of synonymous with a lot of things we see in the hardware space. And there's a particular challenge I also want to touch on, which is funding, you know, raising funds. Why do you think, you know, investors shy away from funding, you know, people that are developing things like this in Africa? And what are those things? The next question will be, have you raised any funds? What was the process like? What do you think those investors were looking out for? And what was the challenge, you know, in trying to convince investors, you know, to really invest in innovation?
In our own scenario, raising, it's not really a problem because the invention have already speak for itself. We don't need to start, you know, oh, this is it. No, it's already speak. We have to know. We've received so many mails, you know, from investors. Oh, we're interested in what you do. We want to invest in it. Yeah. So it's that it has already speaks for itself. And coming to investors, no kids getting scared of investing in Nigeria. We all know what is going on right now. Nobody wants to, like, you know, put your money in an ocean and let it drown. No, insecurity everywhere. It's not, the country is not friendly. It's not friendly. So that alone scares. It scares away. It scares away investors. That's why you see most of our tech company in Nigeria, they go to Delaware in the US to have to open a branch, so they'll be able to know to attract investors. That is it. Real investors don't want to come to Nigeria, and that's the fact. Yes, that's the fact. And we have not started racing. Very soon we want to complete the product, then we start our pre-seed. But we've bootstrapped and we've been able to raise $100,000, more than $120,000, to bootstrap and, you know. But very soon, when we complete the device, then we start our pre-seed of $1 million. Yes. But currently, we are yet to start.
Yeah. So you're confident that... Okay. Okay. So you're confident that, you know, by the time the product is fully formed and you launch finally, fundraising will not be an issue for you. Though it's an issue when it comes to hardware, but, you know, for you and because of the amount of incidents.
Yes, you can say that again, because the device, the solution have already, you know, it's something, it's a global solution. It's not meant for Nigeria alone or Africa alone, it's a global thing. Because breast cancer is a threat on every woman globally. It's a global threat on women. So it's not a device, it's not a solution for Nigeria or for Dustin alone. So with that, the invention, the innovation can already speak for itself. No, it's a patent and technology, so it has speak for itself. So with that, I think we don't really have problem when we get to that stage. Okay. We're going to cross it. We don't really, I'm not sure we're going to have a challenge with that. Even though it might cost us, you know, to move our to move our branch to the US, no problem.
Okay, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, and you know, I really love to see, you know, products like this, you know, get to move in and, you know, save more lives. So, yes. It's a product that saves lives. It's a product. It's an innovation that, you know, could really, you know, it could really transform, you know, the medical industry. And I would think, you know, for any forward-thinking country, that they would, you know, really pay a lot of attention to this and support such innovations. So, have you seen a lot of you know, attention from the government? What are they doing in terms of, you know, making this, you know, innovation, you know, besides the fact that it actually saves lives, it's also one of those things that really puts Africa on the map, that really says, you know, there's something here, you know, this is, you know, an emerging market that, you know, people really need to pay attention to. So is the government doing anything?
Well, we are Nigerians and we know how it works there, so I'm not surprised. I can remember a few weeks ago, I was forced to challenge the Honorable Minister of Communication on Twitter, and what is happening? This innovation has brought accolades to this country. Why? We have a letter with you for how many years ago? Nothing as a fact. It's just that it seems we're now even disturbing them when I even call to, oh, what's the follow up? Well, we get back to you. And we have people telling me, oh, assuming it was in the Western world, people from the US, come to the US, they will accept you, come to this thing. Why is my country not encouraging this? Why are they not encouraging us? Why? Well, I will not deny the fact that we got support from Minister of Science and Tech. This year, we wrote to them, we have presented about 2 years ago, but they got back to us this year, and they pledged their support for our patent registration, which they sprung into action immediately. I've shared that through the Honorable Minister, former Honorable Minister of State for Science and Technology. He swung into action immediately when we looked to him. You know, but I think my government, my country, should have done more. Everything is not money. Everything is not money. They will have done more, because for this kind of innovation coming out from a black continent, you know what that means. I told you, we have so many people have reached out to us from every part of the world regarding this innovation. They know the words. They know what that is. And I'm here, my government is not even, no. It's so disheartening, but I'm not surprised. So that's why, yeah, that part, you see comments, that they comment, oh, you better do, I know, you don't need to tell me. I wouldn't wait for them, unless I just want to kill the whole thing. Why would I wait for them? It's better I take it up and look for, you know, do the proper thing. But under normal circumstances, our government should have done more to encourage.
True. It's disheartening, like you said. It's quite sad that we don't see them, you know, encouraging things like this, which, you know, we've seen that, you know, technology has been, you know, some of the biggest economic drivers for Western countries, you know, like the US and the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And it's sad that, you know, they are not, you know, paying a lot of attention to this space. I'm confident that, you know, a lot of other people will see it and, you know, the much needed support to see this, you know, vision out there. I'm sure you will get it. So, the next question will be my final question, and you are doing a lot about bringing more people to enjoy doing STEM, bringing more people into that space so that we have more people doing more things like we do, you know, in terms of engineering, robotics, mathematics, science, technology. What has that been like, and let's just talk about the progress you've made in that regard, challenges you face in that regard, and the experience generally.
That as part of my contribution to the quota, you know, to the quota of tech in Nigeria, because as I've mentioned earlier, we need more women in this part, and to do that, we have to go to the root. No, go to the root of the problem. Why? That will solve the problem from the root. And who are at that position? They are the girl child. So it's the right time, you know, best time, best position, you know, to approach them, to talk to them about this STEM. STEM and majorly mathematics have been scaring them away. Everybody knows that. Even, you know, math
scares me.
And you know, on this mathematics thing, our teachers, the math teachers are not even helping matters. know, most time most math teachers are mean. They're mean, and that alone scares students away from maths. And without maths, what are you doing in STEM? You know? So coming to them, you know, encouraging them, talking to them. Every child, every person needs some like a role model. When they see a role model, oh, I want to be like her, I want to be like him. And you know, you can be like him or her if you're able to do this. So they can see this thing as something simple. It's no big deal. So that is what we're doing. Then our normal tradition of teaching is all paperwork. So my advocacy really talk about hands-on, because I believe that when you see something practically, you see the real life application of something, that sticks to your brain more than what you read on paper or what you read on the board or you know. So that is my system, my mode of advocacy. So I initiated something called the STEM Gender Gap, and it's all hands-on workshop. It's a workshop that I take to schools, to girls' schools, you know, bring in girl child, let them attend this workshop. It's hands-on workshop where I use robots, I use drones, I use simple electronics, mic controllers and all that. So there's a real application. So all the mathematics that you're being taught in school, that you're thinking that what am I going to use this thing for? If I'm working on the band, will they be asking me all these formulas, all these big formulas? What will I use it for? Okay, you can use them here. This is where you apply them. See how it works. So that sticks to their brain. That physics that you're learning, you're just learning all this law, different laws in physics. Where's the application? How am I going to apply them? Then we show them, this is where you apply them. When you do this, when you initiate this law into this, this is what you get, this is the result. So that helps them a lot. That helps a lot. Yeah, yeah. What you see working, stick to your brain. Yeah. I mean, when it comes, let me say practical, than what you know read on the board or whatever. Yeah. So that is my mode of advocacy, which I take to schools. Now, within my own capacity, because I'm the one footing everything for now alone. I've not pushed it out to the to public. So within my own capacity, I go to schools, talk to the girl child. I mean, schedule a day with them, talk to the principal to give us a day to come and have this hands-on workshop in the school where we mentor them. Then when we do the practical, we introduce them to coding, especially the public schools. All the things I'm saying, all the private schools, they are privileged. Private schools in big cities, they are privileged, to acquire this thing. But how about the ones in public school where we have the majority? So those are part of what I'm doing, to break the gap in STEM and to include the to increase the number of women. But so doing that, when they now get an admission to the university, they will like, okay, I want to be here. And I didn't tell them one thing, don't get discouraged. Some of them were like, okay, I want to be a lawyer. How will I use tech? I don't need math. Don't worry. Even though you're a lawyer, you can still tech. You are an accountant, you can tech. Whatever profession you choose, you can tech. Don't get discouraged. You can tech. Going to software, it's not a must to go to hardware. Hardware might be a bit difficult because you don't have the fundamental knowledge. But you're going into software. Learn programming languages. Come up with something. So that is what I'm doing as a way of, contributing my quota.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. And yes, and it's important that we bring more women, more people into that space. And it's what you've done, with what you are doing. We'll definitely see more of that, and we'll see less of software everywhere, and start seeing more people actually doing it. Yeah, because really hardware matters the most, because we can't have no software without hardware. So yes, we are getting the software, but the hardware is still a very big part of a lot of things that we do. I hope we'll start seeing people like you, creating, setting the pace for a lot of young Africans. I hope we'll see more people in that space. Thank you so much for your time.